Welcome, friends, to the God Friend of Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friend of Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for our penultimate time, Matt. The last Sunday before the last Sunday for episode 220, Collateral Damage, comes your way now.
Pete, this is an episode written by Lydia Tafera and Sam Lifshutz, directed by Darren Grant. The ratings, a 0.5 rating with 6 million viewers. That's a notch down from last week's rating, but about equal for the number of millions of viewers there. But Pete, bigger news on the horizon, certainly in the last week.
Yes, of course, with the cancellation of God Friended Me. Not without a silver lining. We will not be dropped with, at least on its face here, some massive cliffhanger. The word is that the cancellation came down with time to ensure that a proper series ending can take place. So we know that next week the final two episodes will air at 8 and 9 o'clock. One is entitled Miracles, the other is entitled The Mountain, and that will be the end of God Friended Me for season two and for the series.
Pete, here's where my confusion arises. Deadline reported that filming of the season was halted in the middle of March, but the studio said that the show's cancellation was intended. The God Friend of Me writer's Twitter account seemed to back that up, you know, the planned conclusion. But the actors were crestfallen at the news in the last week that the show was canceled. So it certainly could be a case that the studio and the writer producers had one sense of knowledge and that that was not shared with the actors. But there seems to be, there's an inconsistent through line of, oh, we're deadline says, not Pete, not Violet Bean's grandfather, who we had heard from or who we suspect we heard from last week. But, you know, deadline saying they're filming and they've paused, to it's canceled, it was planned, to, oh, wait, now I'm suddenly canceled.
Right. There was even confusion as to, and granted, there are two episode titles for next week. So it's 1 hour, 2 hour. That happens. That's a thing. But, you know, we had been told not 2 hour finale. So there was some hope left out there. Again, you're referring to Jerry Bean, who, and I'm not going to track the guy down. And are you really Violet Bean's grandfather? It's just not going to be a thing I'm going to do through Facebook, particularly given that his granddaughter has just lost this steady gig over the last 2 years. And unfortunately not in a position, pilot season is not really a thing this year so far. So, but he had told us 22 episodes were completed and a 23rd partially shot. So, and again, coming from a secondary source like that, not knowing necessarily the accuracy, but 22 episodes total we're going to get, two more than we had gotten in season one. We're going to end with 42, Matt.
All I will say is this, and you know, it's this X factor, is this guy. And let me pause and say, Pete, layers upon layers of dramatic irony from the universe here. We don't know if that guy on Facebook is real or not. As we talk about a show where who's behind the account, we don't know if they are real or not. But, you know, what had been said by the, can we say, the alleged Jerry Bean or the alleged Grandpa Bean, what was said there would seem to track with what Deadline said in terms of they were not done filming the season. I know this, Pete. I mean, obviously, we are sad that the show has been canceled. It will be interesting to watch with one eye next Sunday with a tear in the eye as it comes to an end, the other eye looking critically for, are there seeds being planted for episode 223 and for season three, which, you know, both of which we know are not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And then there's with the word out now, and I forget what day the word came down in this past week that they had been canceled. And then you saw the God Frenemy writer's account, you know, saying how the cat is out of the bag. But there's a number of petitions who have cropped up now, particularly through these Facebook groups. I know of like three petitions. There was some discussion yesterday. Can we merge them? Trying to get it to Netflix, trying to get another network to bring it on or whatever. We have a little bit of experience with this back when we podcast Alcatraz. We came up with rocks for Fox that people would send rocks to Fox Network and let them know they wanted Alcatraz to continue. It was canceled after one season. It was not picked up. I don't want to pour cold water on these petitions because, again, people can make things happen. BJ and the Bear will always hold a place in this world because they brought it back. And, you know, Netflix was never an avenue to bring a show back, and they've done that. And the people who, you know, engineered a final season for Timeless and, you know, more Lucifer, and these stories exist. The only thing really holding out any hope there is the likelihood that these sets have not been struck, that they've not been destroyed yet, because production was pretty much dropped, and they're not sending people in to wreck these sets.
I'll add to that, and you know, everybody is not always attuned to the difference between network and studio. God Friend of Me is a production of Warner Brothers Television, which CBS has bought this show to air it. That is to say, CBS does not own this show. So is it possible then for the show's owner, Warner Brothers Television, to turn around and sell it to somebody else who, of course, would like to buy it? It has to be this two-way street here. Sure, that's possible. In the modern economics of television, there is a little bit of a road bump because Warner Brothers needs its cut, and then the network needs its cut, and it's different when you're on a sister network, i.e. if ABC TV Productions makes something for ABC, you can squeeze more profit out of that. But I'll mention, Pete, Warner Brothers has its own streaming service launching next month, HBO Max. I think right now, as of today, or if we turn back things a month ago or 6 weeks ago, kind of pre-corona in this country, I think that HBO Max would say, oh, we have a wonderful slate for the first year, no worries. You know, how do things look in a month from now? Kind of irrespective of this worldwide pandemic, which is kind of difficult to not think about it, but how do those plans change for HBO Max in the coming weeks, the coming months? You know, who knows? And again, the fact that that's the home team streamer for Warner Brothers Television, the production studio, you know, never say never, Pete. You can always have hope.
There's a lot up in the air, fluid situation. I don't know that you can look at this cancellation. I don't know if you can look at any cancellation in our current age as being definitive, even with shows that have gone off the air. I mean, how often do we hear about Firefly potentially coming back or whatnot? Fans, if you are passionate enough about it and you get enough people, you can make it happen. I just don't want to have people put their eggs in a basket or send their rocks to a network or what have you, and think that it's a given, particularly in these unprecedented times.
Well, Pete, with that table set, why don't we turn our attention to this particular episode?
Let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. In Walter's hot dog truck, Rakesh and Zach are sneaking about, getting ready to hack the NSA to get to the ultimate bottom of the account. Corey confirms that they're in, but it suddenly gets blocked. Have the hackers been found out by machine or man? Miles gets the update and isn't that worried. After all, he's got a podcast interview to record. He's ready to move on, and he's looking forward to Kara and Adam joining him. Hopefully no trolls show up,
The live cast, that's what cool cats call it, a cast, goes well. But Mr. Angry Pants wonders who Miles might be hurting. Like him, Mr. Angry Pants, the troll. Miles helped a woman who would have been with Mr. Angry Pants, but Miles ruined it. Thanks for nothing, the end. Ding, the friend suggestion. Mr. Angry Pants, Trevor Scott. A quick check-in with Allie reminds us Emily is still with her. Then we go back to Rakesh. Trevor Scott's lost lady love was Rose, who was reunited with Lieutenant Fremont in Times Square in the season 2 premiere.
So what's the solution? Break up Rose and Lieutenant Fremont and with their wedding this weekend? Miles puts on his thinking cap while Allie and Emily return. In private, Allie's worried that Emily is seeing someone behind her back. Moments later, Rakesh is sending Miles to Trevor's paper company. Kara and Adam are out walking, and Adam noting that Miles and Kara never actually broke up. At the paper company, it turns out it's Rose's dad's paper company. Trevor's just a cog in the wheel of big paper. He and Miles talk privately. Turns out T-Dog kinda sorta never told Rose he's totes in love with her.
Hey, maybe the account wants Trevor and Rose to be together. Make it happen, Miles. Miles, Kara, and Rakesh conclude there's no way. What if Trevor just tells Rose the truth? Kara unironically says that would ruin their friendship. If only they could get Trevor a soulmate. Hey Rakesh, isn't there an app for that? At the world-famous comic strip, Trevor's on stage sharing his pain for jokes. At Allie's bar, Emily says there's nothing to worry about concerning another woman. She's just a friend. Dad's grabbing a drink and states his faith in Emily. Back to the comic strip, Trev bro, just try the soulmate app. Wah, she's in Kansas, no way. Trevor wants what Trevor wants and blames Miles for not breaking up Kara and Adam and Rose and Fremont just to make Trevor feel good.
Miles is getting account faves from around the world, including the La Brea Tar Pits. GFM, LA, anyone? Maybe they just need to get Trevor with Marla from Kansas. But wait, now Trevor's posting on Miles' website that Miles still has feelings for Kara. Delete, Rakesh, delete! Done, and the next day Trevor reminds Miles that they're the same, both loving ladies who love other dudes. Later, Rakesh checks in with Corey. The account code sure is acting odd, isn't it? Corey steps aside to take a family call. It's important, and he needs to leave.
At the rehearsal dinner, Miles and Kara aren't feeling awkward at all. Miles takes Trevor aside, reminding him that, you know, girls sometimes like to be happy without the Trevors of the world being domineering. Lieutenant Fremont gives a heartfelt thank you to the guests, then calls Trevor up. Trevor gives a speech about true love and makes it all about himself. It doesn't go well, including a guest giving a facepalm. Later, Rose talks to Miles, finding out Trevor's the friend suggestion.
Miles and Rose find Trevor at Rose's brother's grave. He takes credit for ruining everything. She won't lose Trevor as a friend, though. They hug and cry. Back at Allie's bar, Emily is ready to explain hanging out with her ex, though Allie's initially not ready to listen. Emily needed to tell her ex she, Emily, was truly in love with Allie. At the comic strip, Trevor reflects on getting bad news, which changed the type of job he should have. He's eager to sling his jokes. And who's going on afterwards but Marla from Kansas? One takeaway, Trevor told the woman he loves how he felt. Shouldn't Miles do the same?
Cut to Adam, who has read on the podcast website that Miles still loves Kara. Goodbye, Kara, says Adam. At the comic strip, Miles is reflecting on another win, but Rakesh has terrible news. Corey uploaded a virus to the account. They've got 24 hours, one more night, until it's toast. Oh,
step into the confessional.
Pete, if I didn't have this question in my head, in my heart, about where was the show's production up to, how much is the final episode one of design versus coincidence, oh my goodness, a theme of the show itself, if I didn't know about all that, I would say, Pete, they are clearly setting up this final two-episode journey with this counting clock at the end of the episode. Corey has done it. Corey's ruining the account. It's all going to disappear next time we watch GFM.
Yeah, I mean, it's the type of thing where it could have been a season ender. It could be a series ender. It just works out that it's going to end the series. We have this story clock. I mean, can we assume that they don't go production heavy, you know, leap 10 years later? Oh, here is Miles and Kara at their home. Wait, Kara is going to get little Miles out of the other room for playtime. I mean, it's a possibility. I don't know that they'll necessarily go there.
It does make me feel hopeful for Miles and Kara in that now it appears that the story path has been cleared with Adam, rather clunkily, having this speech, which I don't know that I buy Adam's logic in the first half of the episode that Miles never stopped calling dibs. And then later it's Miles still has feelings. Okay.
I don't want to be the other guy.
Like, yeah.
But isn't every next guy anyway, and vice versa? Like it did feel wishy-washy. And I don't think the audience is meant to like Adam. I know my joke on Twitter is always, it's like Newman, you know, on Seinfeld, whenever he shows up, oh, Adam, you know, and maybe it's supposed to be that way, that we're supposed to love to hate him. And this is, it's a really lame backing out of the relationship. Is Kara going to be receptive in a way like, oh, well, this other guy just up and left me, now I will take you back? Like that doesn't, I don't feel that speaks to her character.
Well, maybe she has one episode of All the Single Ladies and then half an episode of, hey, what does my heart feel? And then we get that GFM lift at the intended or unintended, I don't know, but at the factual season finale, series finale, where maybe it is new old love rediscovered. I think if there's one theory I want to cling to coming out of this episode, it's that at the end of episode 222, at the end of the series, that romance is back.
I kind of think it has to be, although it almost feels like they've evolved past that as a show.
Well, here's my fear. My fear is, again, depending on which way you want to read the wind blowing, what if the triumphant reuniting of these two was scripted for episode 223 and they were going to shoot it on Saturday, March 14th, a day of shooting that never came? I mean, if there is the triumphant embrace of lovers from episode 223 partially shot, you can work that into the edit of 222. But what if it's there on the page, practiced, ready to go? They did the read through and it, what, Pete, what if it was hours away from being filmed and then it wasn't?
Yeah, I mean, these are unique circumstances under which a show wraps up, on top of the unusual nature of this narrative. You know, when I think about my ideas of what this finale could look like, the show is so heavily built around guests, and you know, the past couple weeks in particular, you know, Zach has become like a young Ray Nicolette. He's on call a lot for the God Squad. Jaya got name checked in this episode. Lulu got name checked in this episode. We've had all these friends, you know, through the two seasons. How many do we see come back? What does the end of this series look like?
I like how the show has brought those people back. I mean, for as much as it is this unique combination of procedural and serial, as I've said before, we live in a world and they live in a neighborhood, they live in a part of New York where you really, really can turn the corner and say, "Hey, Ray Nicoletta, I haven't seen you in 6 months. How you doing?" And catch up, let alone, you know, in the modern age, you know, send them a text and say, "Oh, we need you to come help with a thing." I hope that we get a curtain call of sorts for some of those recurring people. Ray Nicolette at the top of the list. Indeed, any of the cast of recurring characters would be great.
Joy,
to see.
Maybe.
Again, all of that is welcome. Maybe might even be predicted, but I'll just repeat what I said before. Was Joy slotted to come in for 2/23? Was she going to be in there on Monday the 15th or whatever it was, a day that never was filmed?
Yeah, and then you throw in this wrench that the account is disappearing, and it makes you wonder, does the show end with the account ending?
All of this, I think, will make for an interesting watch next Sunday, in part because, you know, we'll watch with a heavy heart, but knowing that this ending is being constructed in a way that maybe is less than ideal, not just ideal because it got canceled, but because of, you know, coronavirus and so forth. Oftentimes writers rise to these challenges. You know, we always talk about bottle episodes where sometimes a bottle episode where they've said, okay, no new sets, no guest actors, give me your version of Trapped in an Elevator and do it on the cheap. Sometimes those stories end up being so fantastic because there needs to be this writerly solution. Regardless of what has brought us to next Sunday being the series finale, you know, what is there in the edit? What is there in alternate takes? Do you go back and say, hey, we asked them to play this particular scene, happy, medium, and sad, and happy was going to be for some other reason, but now let's get the sad edit in there because we know what it means to the new story, the ending story. You just hope that it's going to be a really strong conclusion.
Yeah, and then when you look at the events of this episode, I did not see the rehearsal dinner taking that turn. I thought for certain Miles would talk some kind of sense into Trevor. It didn't happen. You talked about the facepalm. I mean, that was... no one in the room other than Trevor wanted to see that happen. And then the way that Rose accepts it and still wants him in life. I mean, full credit for a character who would want to do that. That's a tremendous act of forgiveness. I have to ask the question, was that behavior of Trevor's normalized?
I don't know how you felt about Trevor, Pete. Let me talk about myself. Trevor is the first friend request in this show who I have rooted against. And some of it has been with glee. And look, he was clearly a jerk and he was clearly saying, you know, essentially, you know, chop, chop, Miles, do my bidding, do the bidding of the account. I know how this works. I've figured out what the answer is. You need to make
that
it
was
happen.
Obnoxious, wasn't it?
It was. And I think that
there's the overtones of it.
Absolutely. And I think that we were meant to feel all those things. Perhaps it was the show giving us a lesson about that kind of attitude. And certainly Miles being patient with him. And then, as you say, Pete, Rose having forgiveness in her heart. I mean, my goodness, if that's not the lesson to take away, that with time we can change these people's minds and with time we can have them maybe join us in the modern world where you don't say, I liked you even though you didn't know it, therefore you have to be with me, toots, you know, that we can change minds on this. If that's the conclusion, then certainly is a noble one. Maybe it's a lesson that bears repeating, because sometimes it feels like we can't change those minds. We can't get people to look at the evidence and to be realistic. So if that was the show, I don't want to say giving us the vegetables, but if that was the show saying, don't forget, there's a lesson here, and the lesson is a hard one, but it's one that's about forgiveness and keeping your heart open, even to those who are not necessarily kind to you, then it's a good lesson, even if it is maybe not, you know, it's not my favorite lesson.
An interesting wrinkle that extends from this episode has really become a thing this year and could be used going forward with these remaining episodes is the idea of Rakesh's soulmate app.
Yes. I know I've spoken at length in the past about Rakesh kind of being this magic solution to things. I will say it was well placed. You know, this is episodes and episodes and episodes ago. This was early in the fall when he's working on this app. And obviously it's come up since then, don't get me wrong. But for them to need that exact tool in this particular story, that is a well-placed thing. The app has been around long enough where you say, oh, wait, maybe this can help us out. And indeed it does.
What are people saying on the horn?
People, start with an email from Justin who says as follows. You guys have been podcasting the show for 2 years and they do a live podcast scene. Where was your invite? You dudes would have been great as extras.
Wow. That's wow. Okay. Let's unpack that for a second. Certainly would have been flattered to have been asked and would have loved to go up there, but just not the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, Pete, maybe in the next show, not episode, maybe in the next series, I don't know. Let's head to Twitter here. Some tweets from our GodPod squad. First one from James is at Big Killen. This show will be leaving a lot on the table. It was a good episode. I will miss these Sunday night feel-good fests. We also heard from Peter, that's at Tweet Scala. This was a great episode. It taught us on how we need to let go from the past. Next week's episode will be bittersweet for me. We also heard from Andre Yeager, that's at Dr. Polo 1983. I still don't like Trevor, no matter how it ended. I'm with you, Andre. Still ticked, I'll change the word he said slightly, they canceled the show. Hope they warned them ahead of time so the ending next week has some closure. And lastly, Pete, two tweets from Fritz Klug, that's at Fritz Klug. It's hard watching the show that is ending and not to think how this will be leading to a conclusion. I think it's interesting to think about the consequences of helping friend suggestions. Loved how it brought up doubt in a new way. It's sad the show is ending. I feel the writing in the second half of season two is dealing with more complex issues and themes in a new way. This episode is one of them.
It's funny. I've seen a lot of talk both on Twitter and Facebook of people saying now that the show, they know the show is ending, they feel less invested in it. I don't feel that phenomenon. I mean, you're certainly entitled to the way that you feel. Personally, I want to see how they wrap up and, you know, judge it as a whole with that. But, you know, there seems to be a lot of anger. You know, CBS, you made this decision and you've made this decision for me rather than understanding. And maybe that's because Matt and I, we're not new to the cancellation of a show. Every show eventually ends. And, you know, definitely sensitive to the jobs that ride on this, not just of your creatives, but then all the behind the scenes people and everything you have like that. And again, that this shoots in New York City, you're talking about the hardest hit area because of coronavirus. I mean, we've not heard of anybody, knock wood, of the production having been ill or worse, but, you know, hopefully everybody's doing okay. And, you know, everybody latches on when production of television is able to start back up again.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've been with this show for the 40 episodes that have aired so far. Let's see how it ends. I mean, regardless of planned, not planned coronavirus versus not, you know, possibility for production, all of that, you know, I think it's interesting to speculate, as we did at the top of the podcast. Ultimately, in the final 2 hours of the show, in the final 80 minutes, what does it have to say about itself? What does it have to say to us? I'm excited to find out.
Well, Matt, what it has to say about our listeners is that we have a vibrant, strong base for patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
We are so proud to be listener supported and to have those who want to support us go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek, not just for these weekly episodes, to keep that back catalog up and to keep our forward momentum for projects both on the calendar and yet unannounced. So a big thanks to everyone who has supported us, for Godfriend and me, who will continue to do so next week, and who support Fantastic Geek as an endeavor.
Everybody who contributes gets access to all sorts of podcast content, whether you can contribute now, whether you have in the past, thankful for both. Can't contribute right now, we're certainly sensitive to those needs. A way to help out and not have to put down any money, get yourself over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating, takes just a second. You can leave us a review, takes a little bit longer, and you help spread the word about this. Soon to go in the back catalog, Matt, and we have quite a few shows in our back catalog that people continue to rediscover. You know, some people watching Daredevil during their coronavirus, what do we even call this, lockdown, quarantine, what have you. At this point, pretty soon we'll be getting ready for the final season of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. be bringing you that. We're still waiting on a date for Star Trek Discovery and its third season, so we have things coming for you soon in addition to some surprises.
So all sorts of goodies on the Patreon, but there's one that's always free that's talking to you on Twitter. Pete, how can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R-J-K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 11,286 followers. Can't be wrong.
Well, Pete, this time next week, we'll be wrapping up talking the final two episodes of Godfriend and Me. Just want to remind our listeners, of course, we'll be doing a season, nay, a series wrap-up in 2 weeks' time as well. But for this episode, I will say adios to all the listeners and give you, Pete, the final word.
Rejection is God's way of saying wrong direction.